Obviously, I talked about at length this morning and just talked about some more about the president heading to Alaska to meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin to talk primarily about Ukraine. But there could be some other topics on the table. Expectations have been set relatively low by the White House, and maybe that's because they should be, or maybe it's because they want to underpromise and overdeliver. Other issues to talk about, and we welcome in, as always, David Lightman from McClatchy, D.C., joining us here on Brian & Company. David, good morning. How are you?
Fine, and flattered that you would cut off that song for me.
Yeah, just for you. That's really
you
funny.
You can play the rest of it if you like it.
But take it to the, wouldn't get us to the end of the show. It's such a short song.
Well, exactly.
We've obviously laid it out there. What would constitute, the president said 25% chance of success. What would be a success?
You know, something surprising that moves the ball. In other words, they're supposed to meet at, I think, 3 o'clock Eastern time. If all of a sudden they said, we're going to spend an extra day here so that Zelensky can join us, okay? Or we'll resume these talks 3 days from now with Zelensky, a European leader. In other words, something we're not expecting. And I know this will date me, but I go back to the 80s when President Reagan and Gorbachev, then the leader of the Soviet Union, met and we were in Reykjavik in Iceland. And remember, they ended up with the zero option on I think Gorbachev proposed no more nukes, and Reagan rejected it, but it was a surprise. That's what usually, often that's what makes these things. So we'll see. I mean, you have two leaders, two strong-willed people, two people who have talked tough. We'll see. I'm curious to see how Trump deals with his comment that there'll be severe consequences if Russia doesn't act the way he wants in Ukraine. I mean, he's kind of dialed that back a little bit, but it's still out there. So we'll see.
You know, I'm trying to figure out, I mean, this isn't maybe a fair question, but it seems that, like, Putin just doesn't want to dignify Zelensky as a leader and be in the same room as him. It seems like he doesn't want to ever do that.
No. But on the other hand, he also knows that his military is being worn down, that his economy is shaky, that other nations around the world could impose sanctions, that sort of thing. So he needs to be careful here. I mean, we've seen this before with the U.S.-Russian relations. We've seen it in arms talks and other things like that, where everybody talks tough, and in the end, they give just enough. That's why I say, I think what we have to watch for is some surprise.
Yeah, well, we'll certainly be watching. I mean, whether we find out tonight or into tomorrow, because it's, as you said, it's later in the afternoon, our time, when they start the meeting. And as I pointed out, if it's short, it's not good. If it's long, then it's good. We're talking with David Lightman from McClatchy, D.C. here in Brian & Company. Switching gears to the policing element and the federalizing of that in Washington. You've been down there a long time, David. Obviously, you know, D.C. proper is known for being a pretty difficult city with crime and with the murder rate. I'm curious, and I think we can all agree it was not good, but whether it was a crisis or not is a debate. But what's the vibe in the city? How does it feel? Does it look different? Did you feel like it was a crisis? Just give us some, you know, maybe take the journalistic hat off and as a citizen and resident.
Yeah, I mean, I was down there, obviously, all week. It's hard to analyze. On the one hand, most of my time this week I spent on Capitol Hill, which is roughly half a mile of that from the beginning of the big area where all the museums are and the monuments and so forth. Capitol Hill is not a high-crime area, but there are homeless there. The train station, frankly, could be dangerous. I didn't see anything out of the ordinary. I mean, there's security. There are police, as there always are. I walked to the Capitol. Capitol, of course, is well fortified, as you can imagine, but nothing unusual. The usual police and checkpoints and all that. Downtown is another matter. Downtown, which is walking distance from the Capitol, in the commercial area and the tourist area around the monuments and so forth, Yeah, there you saw more. You saw more, I guess they're military or National Guard, which is kind of weird and kind of creepy, actually. Is this necessary? You know, like any big city, right? I mean, sure, you go into the bad areas of town, yeah, the crime rate's high. You go into the more well-traveled areas of town, you're fine. I mean, I've never feared, other than, you know, normal fear, downtown or at Capitol Hill or the neighborhoods where I go. Sure, there's crime. You have to be careful. You don't do stupid things. But I've never seen Washington as, at least the Washington I know, as a place that's just, you know, bursting with murders every block.
Got it. We're talking with David Lightman from McClatchy, D.C., here on Brian & Company. In terms of anything else, I mean, is obviously this Ukraine and Putin meeting isn't, I don't think you can claim as a purposeful distraction from the Jeffrey Epstein stuff, because this is really important foreign policy. Some other elements of what's gone on, you could, but I mean, is the Epstein stuff going to fade, or when things calm down, will it come back?
Oh, it's going to come back with a vengeance in about 2-3 weeks. Congress returns September 2nd, and I'll bet you anything that Friday you and I will take up some time talking about it, because some of the Republicans are going to join the Democrats demanding that those files be released, and the media is going to jump all over it. So, yeah, that story, it may be cold right now, but it'll be back when Congress is back. That and the prospect of, can they fund the government by October 1st?
Yeah. And also, Gavin Newsom sort of trolling the president a little bit, and then ICE agents showing up at, you know, his rally of sorts. And then we have this redistricting issue, which seems to be bleeding into other states, perhaps. What's the latest from your view on that whole situation?
Yeah, maybe because we have so many papers in California and Texas and places like that. This is a big deal. I mean, I know it's hard. It's not a very sexy story, but this is a huge deal. This is where Texas wants to add seats that would presumably go Republican in the next election. Gavin Newsom in California fighting back, saying, you do that, we'll redistrict our state, and Ohio's going to join in, and Indiana, and here we go, redrawing all the maps so each party might have an advantage. That's huge, because traditionally, the party in power at the White House loses seats in that midterm election. I mean, Trump's first term, the Republicans lost 40 seats and Democrats won control of the House. So if Republicans can start redrawing the maps in their favor and somehow avoid that kind of thing, that's big. It's big for Trump. Because right now, Democrats only need a net gain of 3 seats to win control of the House next year. So, again, not a very sexy story, but a very important one.
Yeah. Listen, have a great weekend. Obviously, a lot to do on the heels of this big meeting, and I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about next week. David, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks. Have a good weekend.